could go back either in your childhood or maybe recently to the one of the greatest gifts that you unwrapped and you're like, man, this is the greatest gift ever. But for us as believers, none of the gifts that we have ever received even come close to the gift that God gave us through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to be all spiritual. What I'm trying to get us to get to is the reality of that should be true of all of us. That is where we should live every single day. Every breath we take, we should recognize that it is a gift from God. Every step that we take, we should recognize it is a gift from God. Every time we go to our job that we hate, working for the boss that we do not like, we should recognize it as an opportunity to say, thank you, God, for my job. Amen? These are gifts that God gives us, but that gift pales in comparison to the gift that he gave us when his son came and was laid in a manger. Nothing better than that. And so we've been talking about all of this prophecy stuff, the foretelling of the coming Savior. And what I want to do this morning is we're going to look in Micah chapter 5 is where we're really going to rest today. And it's going to tie in all the things we've already talked about. And then we're going to end with one final thought. And so in just a little bit, kids, I'm going to dim the lights. So don't freak out. Okay? Because I know kids love to do that. So just, it'll be okay. I promise. All right? Moms and dads, don't stress either. It'll be fine. I promise. So here's the main thought for you today. And it's super simple. But it's very profound. Peace is found through the hope and fulfillment of prophecy. If you were to read back and go through the children of Israel and all the prophecies that were given to them, you could sense the hope that they have as the prophet is sharing these wonderful things that are coming. Now, some of the children of Israel didn't buy it. They really didn't get into it. Some of them really, really did. And then for us, we can read and see that the prophecies that were foretold and see the hope that was in it and then watch it come to fruition. We get to read it actually happen. And the hope that was shared there and was hoping to be experienced, we actually get to experience it in our real life right here, right now. Which should move us further along as we read about prophecy of the coming Savior, of what's going to happen in the end. It should remind us of the hope that they had that came true and drive deep within us the hope of what we read, knowing that it's going to come true at some point in time. That is what this is all about for me. This has been so deep for me. It's brought a hope to me that I haven't had, or let me rephrase that, I've had for a long time, but it just made it a little more solid, a little more secure. Why? Because I see the fulfillment of the old prophecies. When we read the Christmas story, it is nothing but a fulfillment of the old prophecies that they have been looking forward to for some time. For a long time. Remember, they looked for a king. They wanted a king. The kings didn't work out very well. They wanted deliverance, and they looked for deliverance. They tried to get deliverance, and that didn't work out for them. And then Jesus came, and he brought a new hope to them, a new promise. And yet, because they weren't paying attention, they didn't buy it enough, they missed it. For us as believers here today, we need to pay attention. We need to see the Christmas story for what it truly is and allow it to prepare us for what is to come. Because I'm telling you, there is great peace that can be found through hope and through the fulfillment of prophecy, whether it's already been fulfilled or the coming of it. So let's jump into Micah chapter 5. Starts this way, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Now, when we see the idea that Bethlehem, that they're little among the thousands of Judah, Bethlehem was a tiny, tiny spot on the map. And a lot of times what the children of Israel would do is they would build these cities and throw like 1,000 men army to protect the area that they are. And so that's kind of how they would build their cities. Well, Bethlehem wasn't even big enough, good enough, special enough to even have that. They were the smallest of all the cities, of all the towns, of all the villages. It was just a spot. Now, I kind of grew up in a town like that. You ever heard of Swannanoa? Only one of you that is not a part of my family knows where that's at. It is a small spot, but it's a cool spot. It's a special spot for me. That's where I was born. It's where I was raised. That's where I tried to grow up. Let that sink in. And so Bethlehem is a special spot. And Micah, like 300 years before the birth of Christ, is giving this prophecy saying, listen, there's going to be something special come out of you, Bethlehem. You may think you're small, worthless, useless, not even worth being mentioned, but I'm telling you, Bethlehem, something special is going to come out of you. Now, for me, when I read that kind of stuff, I think about little old me and how useless I am, worthless I am, wretched that I am. And then I hear God saying, well, if you'll give me yourself, I can do something through you. And let me tell you something. I don't know what your past is. I don't know where you've been. But you're never useless to God. You are never worthless to Him. And He loves you right where you're at and wants to take you further than you could ever go. And He wants to look you in the eyes today, speak directly to your heart, and speak peace and hope to you, saying, I'm not done with you yet. But just as any gift is offered to us, you've got to reach out and take it. That's a total side note. So here's the thing that I wanted you to notice in this verse. Notice where it says, whose goings forth are from of old and from the beginning. Let me throw you some verses. Genesis 1:1, we all know that. In the beginning, God. So in the beginning, before all the things were created, before we even existed, before we were even thought about, God was there. But then we find out later that in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, here's what it said there. In the beginning was the Word. Well, guess who the Word is? The Word is Jesus Christ. He came and is God in the flesh. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So again, that statement goes back to Micah 5:2 to saying that, listen, Jesus, God, they have always been around. The Word has always existed. Jesus is God's Word. It is His Son. It is Himself in the flesh. It's all of those things. He's always been here. And He's never going away. And He's here for you if you will accept Him. So here's the first thought I have for you today. Remember this? 3 weeks ago we talked about this, that the accuracy of prophecy enhances those not yet fulfilled. Think about this verse. Where was He born? He was born in Bethlehem. That's a prophecy that was fulfilled. He's always been, and He's still present today. Another statement that is continuing to be fulfilled. So for me, when I look at this statement, it helps me that the accuracy of the things that have been stated are true. They are accurate. They are reliable. They are things that I can bank my life on. That is good stuff for us. We should get excited about that a little bit. So Micah 5:3 goes on. Again, he's speaking, and here's what he says. Therefore, he shall give them up. God's just not going to quit on them, but He's going to kind of step back and let them go their way, do their thing. Does that sound familiar? Until the time that she who is in labor has given birth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. So the idea is that all of this captivity stuff is happening, and the prophets are talking to the children of Israel, trying to build into them hope of, listen, it's not going to last forever. You should read Zechariah sometime. It's pretty interesting. This isn't always going to be this way. The king is coming. God is going to save you. God is going to fix this. Just keep motoring. Keep going. Don't stop. But if you were like me, when you get in that spot and the world is caving in, and everything around you is in disarray, we want to quit. We want to just stop and just say, what is the point in all this Christianity stuff? And yet God is simply saying, hold on, stay with me. This is just a small moment of your life. Get to the other side and I will show you great things. Just hang in there. And for me, that is what it's saying here. He's saying, listen, you may be in this spot for a while, but let me tell you something. There is a young lady that is going to have a child. And He is the one that is going to save you. And the remnant of Israel is going to come back. It's going to kind of reignite itself. Zechariah chapter 1. I know that's small, but stay with me. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. For I was a little angry and they helped, but with evil intent. It's kind of him saying, you know, I was only this much mad, but they made me this much mad. Sounds like parenting, right? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. I'm coming back to restore some order here. I'm coming back with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, watch this. My city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Now what I love about that, I know that's not bothering me, so you stay focused on me. What's cool about all of that is, again, this is prophecy of saying what's to come. He knows that everything's in disarray. He knows what's being said of his people, but he knows the plan that is coming, and he's staying the course. My challenge to us this morning is, he knows the plan for your life, and it may be in disarray, but he knows the plan. Stay the course. Amen. Don't stop. Don't quit. Listen, think about what might have happened if Mary or Joseph would have just quit. Think about what would have happened if maybe the shepherds didn't go find him, or the wise men didn't go do what they did. Like, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. Mary's life of all lives was in disarray at that moment. Amen? She was in a spot, and yet what did she do? She trusted her Savior, and she went forward with the plan. Again, I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you one thing. I know a Savior that knows right where you're at, and he loves you in spite of that, and he knows the plan that he has for you. All he's asking is for you to trust him and stay the course. Don't quit. So here's the second thought. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about this, that we should know written prophecy in order to see it coming. The children of Israel should have known. Listen, they're talking about someone having a child. When Mary's talking about having a child and people know that her and Joseph weren't together yet, like at some point, hopefully should have, the prophecy should have kind of popped into their brain. They should have gotten a clue, but it didn't happen that way. Why? Maybe they weren't paying attention. I don't know why. But for us, we can learn from it. We can know Scripture. We can know how to interact. We can know how to do life. We can know how to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. And when things go awry, when things go haywire, when things take a little sideways kick, we can still stay the course because we know that He has a better plan in motion. Micah 5:4, it goes on, and he says, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Now again, this is building into this idea that they are looking for a king and that God is sending them a king. But to the ends of the earth is not even what it's talking about as far as an earthly kingdom. It is talking about a heavenly kingdom. But even more than that, think about Jesus in his earthly life when he was a man, and especially in his ministry time. What did he do to the people? He stood and he fed his flock. Think about that. Not only did he just heal them and give them physical food, but Jesus stood and he fed his flock. Have you ever read the Sermon on the Mount? Good luck with that one. Like, that's a doozy. There's a lot of stuff in there. And there's so much in Scripture that Jesus did to teach his people, not just the people in Scripture, but to teach us. He is still standing to this day, teaching and feeding his flock for those that want it, for those that go after it, for those that receive the gift that he is offering to them. This is what we talked about last week. Only God can make the impossible possible. Only God can do what he did through Jesus. Jesus was the most amazing human being ever. He did some of the most enormous miracles that we could ever imagine. And because of the Spirit that lived within him, he was able to do those things. Well, let me tell you something. God wants to use you to accomplish his purpose and his will. He wants to get inside of you and do great and mighty things that you don't even have a clue that you can do. That's the type of God that we serve. That is what he is itching to do. That's what he wants to do for each and every one of us. And so for me, I look at my life. Every morning on Sunday, I look in the mirror and think, woohoo, good luck with that, God. Because he takes the impossible, makes it possible. For some of you, you're looking at insurmountable circumstances, maybe in your marriage or raising your children or at your job. And let me tell you something. You may think it's impossible. In fact, every indication seems like there's no hope. Please don't forget that there's a God that loves you. And that there's a God that can take the absolute most impossible scenario that you could ever imagine and make it possible. But it is up to us to do the hard work, to get in line, to follow after Him, to choose to be His servants. That's up to us. Now, before we get into our last point, because I know y'all are ready for donuts and Danish, I want you to think about these Christmas carols. We've been singing them all morning. But Silent Night, think about Silent Night. It was at night, and it was probably silent. Right? The stars are out. It was probably nice and calm. Think about how peaceful that is. Y'all ever sat out in your yard or on your roof or out in your farm and just laid back and looked at the stars? It's kind of cool. It's kind of neat. It's kind of overwhelming to some degree. Think about it came upon a midnight clear. I think about the shepherds as they're sitting out there, and then just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the midnight clear, these angels pop up. Now, at the moment, that wasn't very peaceful for them, but the more that they spoke to them, there was great peace that was understood and felt and accepted. Oh, Holy Night, one of my favorite songs of all time, just a great song that talks about what a great evening that was. And then away in a manger. I think about, hey, Dave, do you mind to hit the fourth button? I think about this kind of stable without the electrical lights. And I think about how in the evening, you've got the stable, you've got the manger, you've got Mary and Joseph, and you guys are going to see this in just a little bit. And then in that song, it's talking about the cattle are lowing, the baby wakes up. And I can just picture Mary and Joseph sitting there looking at their child as any good parent would do. And maybe Mary is holding him in her arms. And you as a mom, you know what that is like when you look at your first child. That first look, when those little eyes open and you lock on, there's nothing better. There's an instant connection. Now, whether they can connect or not, it just happens. You know what I'm talking about? You guys got that little warm, fuzzy feeling in there? Dad's the same way, especially if it's a little girl. It's over. Life is finished as you knew it. And there is something about, even though it's a stable, a stinky stable with animals all around them, and them sitting there holding this child. And I want you to think about this thought. You ready for this? Mary begins to remember the conversation that she had with the angel. And she knew all along that this child was a little different, that the way it was arranged was a lot different. But maybe for the first time when she held him in her arms and she looks down and his eyes open and they lock and maybe he sends out a little coo. But in that moment, she realizes this is the Son of God. Let that sink in just for a minute. Because it's special when we hold our own child, but this young lady who is highly favored by God, who is visited by an angel, who had a husband who went above and beyond what he was required to do. And they are sitting there and they are looking at, literally, the Son of God. Now you talk about a gift. This was a gift that came out of extraordinary circumstances. It was different. It was meant to be different. And maybe in that moment under that starry sky, in that nice little stable, the animals are quieted, the hustle and bustle around them were quieted. And then the shepherds come and confirm with them what they already knew. Can you imagine the confirmation that they gained through that, the hope that completely overtook them, the joy and the peace that just completely eradicated all fears and worries? And then maybe at some time later when the wise men came and they confirmed it even more. I would imagine if it were me, I would not have wanted to hold him. That's the Son of God. What if I drop him? Right? I don't know. But there had to be something that was so peaceful, that the inner turmoil and inner worry and inner angst that we all have as new parents must have gone away when they looked into his face. And if you ever read Micah chapter 5, verse 5, here's what it said. This is the prophecy. And this one, the one that is coming, the one that will be born in Bethlehem, the one that will be born by a young lady who is a virgin, that one, the one that's going to restore much of Israel, the one that is going to draw them back, he, this one, will be peace. What have you looked for in your life to try to find peace? Maybe it's golf. You're looking up the wrong spot. Maybe it's hunting, maybe it's sewing, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's eating, maybe it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, maybe it's whatever. Can I just tell you one sure thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt with 100% certainty? Nothing will bring peace like a relationship with the Son of God. Nothing. And when Jesus came, he came because he was the one that offers peace to each and every one of us. Now, some of you are thinking, Alan, you don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggles that I'm experiencing. You are absolutely right. I don't. But you don't know the struggles or my life either. And I can tell you that in the most dire circumstances that I've ever found myself in, when I truly turn to him with nothing left and I offer all that I have to him, there is a peace that passes an understanding that comes from nowhere else. And let me tell you something. It guards my heart. Because our hearts are fragile. Things try to creep in. And it calms the voices in my head. Those conversations that I'm constantly having. That negative self-talk that tries to overtake me. It calms that down. It is a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent as a baby to lowly Bethlehem that really wasn't even on the map, to a nasty stable covered in who knows what and surrounded by animals. He spoke to the shepherds who aren't the most trustworthy people. He brought wise men who have studied this thing and they knew that they, when they saw that star, something was different. They researched it. They found him. And even when the wise men found him, they left a different way because they trusted the angel that spoke to them. You see, for me, this verse is so important. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and praise God, Prince of Peace. Peace is found through the hope and fulfillment of prophecy. Why do you think people like Christmas so much? It's not just about the gifts. There is something special about this day and tomorrow that just kind of relaxes things. It brings peace and it's just calming. I don't understand it or explain it, but for me, that is exactly what happens. There's just something that is just like, and I picture Mary and Joseph as they're kneeling around their child, listening to the animals behind them, looking at the stars above them, and they just take that deep sigh of relief because everything that was foretold to them came true. And the hope that they found through that brought them peace. And let me tell you something, church. This morning, you can find that peace as well. Because I'm telling you, there is a Savior who loves you. He died for you a long time ago, rose again in power and victory, but he is coming again. That is the prophecy that is being told now, and we can read about it. And I'm telling you, if you trust the prophecy of him being told that was going to be born, you can trust the prophecy that he's coming back. And I'm telling you now, that will bring you great, great peace. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you for the simple truth that as we see the prophecy fulfilled and as we trust all of those things, God, that you grant us great peace. The peace comes from trusting in the hope that you have embedded within us, because we read the old prophecy and it comes true, and now we know the new prophecy that is to come true, and we can rest assured knowing that you are a God of your word. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for the attentiveness. Thank you for the chance just to open your word, and thank you for the small glimpse of the peace that was felt by Mary and Joseph as they looked literally into the face of the Son of God. Thank you so much. May Christmas for some of us this year be way different than it has before. May the inner turmoil that we have wrestled with and fought with because of bad memories or bad history, may it be let go this morning, today. And may we look you square in your face and say, God, I am trusting in you because you offer hope. These other scenarios do not. For those of us, God, that love this time of year, help us to take it all in. Help us to celebrate the way that we should celebrate and to bring glory and honor to you in all things and in all ways, so that the peace of God may remain in our hearts and in our lives. But God, I truly appreciate so much the hope that you have granted us in knowing that someday you're coming back. And when you come back, you will take those with you that truly love you and serving you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we, as individual believers and as a church family, be found faithful. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for all that you have done and for the precious gift that you sent us. In Jesus' name, amen.